I really appreciated the song, the second song that was led as we opened up the service. Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who still guides us on to the end of our days. It's a wonderful song. We think of God and His creation. And as I think of what to share on, I know I had the responsibility to share a message Sunday morning. I pondered throughout the week what God would have me to bring. And I had one idea in my mind, but yesterday morning I was sitting out on my porch with my cup of coffee and I was pondering. And we have a little patch of woods there, kind of in our front yard. And in flew a bird. And it's the kind of bird that makes himself known in a good way. They don't go around silently. It was a real treasure for me. And his partner came flying in shortly after. And they spent some time there. The title of the message is Seven Lessons from a Pileated Woodpecker. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the bird. It's about the size of a crow. And I brought some pictures along this morning. I'll just stick it up here. In my mind, they're beautiful birds. As I already said, it is a woodpecker. And they live primarily on carpenter ants. But their diet is also supplemented by the larva of wood-boring beetles, termites, other insects, and they also eat wild fruits and nuts. They have one nest a year with 3 to 5 eggs. And there's a lot more traits, and we'll get into them as we go throughout the sermon. But I believe it is a truly beautiful bird. As they were there pecking around an old stump, they were not the only life in the woods. There was a squirrel that came down a tree not too far away, and it came over there to see what was going on. You know, squirrels can get pretty nosy. And so the squirrel came over and challenged them in their space. The one flew up into a tree, but the one stood his ground. And if you ever saw a pileated woodpecker flying, or in this case he was standing his ground, and as he raised up his wings, and the white feathers below, it's just a picture of beauty as he stood his ground. And there's a picture of them flying as they go through the woods, and the white really stands out against their black bodies. And of course, they have the red crest. Very unique bird. I think a very beautiful bird. If you have a log house, you might be cringing a little bit at a sermon like this, because I think they're known to make holes in more than just dead trees, but we'll let that where it is. I was just curious if you think about a message on woodpecker, if there's any verses that come to your mind. I threw this one on you, so if it don't, that's fine. The first point I have is the pileated woodpecker is a beautiful creation of God. I believe they are very beautiful birds. And as we worship the Creator, not the created, we do not worship the creature, we worship the Creator, and that's something what I want to remember as we go out throughout this message. But we also share a common Creator with this beautiful bird. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We see here that God hath also made us wonderfully, as he has made all his creation wonderfully. As we embrace the way that God has created us, and we enjoy what he has done for us. However, just like the woodpecker, if we allow ourselves to get covered by the decayed wood, by the things of this world, we lose our beauty. And that takes us to the next point, the next lesson that I want to take from a pileated woodpecker, and that is to survive, he needs to get dirty with this world's decayed stuff. So he picks out dead trees. That's where his food is. Stumps, whatever it is. And we all know what happens when a woodpecker starts digging. Stuff starts flying. So to survive, he does need to get down and get dirty. But he also has the ability to fly and leave these world's things behind. He doesn't get stuck in the decayed wood. It takes me to John 17. I want you to turn there with me. These woodpeckers are in the wood, but they're not of the wood. And Jesus has a similar phrase here in John 17, starting in at verse 14. We use the phrase in the world, but not of the world. And that's where this comes from. John 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word. Jesus gave them God's word, the Father's word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20 is talking about each one of you sitting here this morning. For them also which shall believe on me through their word. If you have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus says that we're going to be rubbing shoulders with the world. But we're going to be living with entirely different goals. In some ways we get down and we get dirty. And yet we need to be able to fly away. We need to choose not to get stuck with the dirt of this world. Our goals are so different, in fact, that the world hates us, Jesus said. They do not understand us. 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. As we think of getting our hands dirty, for when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Paul came down pretty harsh. He goes on to say, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. Seems like there were some that were going around depending on others for their sustenance, and they were just getting busy in other people's business rather than working and providing for themselves. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. If you know the pileated woodpecker, he doesn't necessarily work quietly, but he definitely works, and he eats that which he works for. And that is something that we have been taught from the Word of God, that we, as long as we are able to provide for ourselves, an able-bodied person who refuses to provide for himself should also not eat for himself, is what Paul taught. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. We see the balance here, a laboring man and the sweetness of his sleep. But we also see the rich man and the abundance of his wealth. And it brings me, as we think about working, providing for ourselves, we also need temperance in that. And even in our work, yes. I had to think, what if the woodpecker was determined to drill a hole bigger than any woodpecker had ever drilled in this, as long as he ever knew. It is known, woodpeckers don't think like people do. They don't get proud like we do, thankfully. They're not tempted to try to outperform. However, they are known to drill holes so big in some small trees that it actually topples the tree. What if he did think like a human? What if he drilled a hole so big to show off that the tree actually fell and took his own life? Jesus talked about a man who was laying up goods for himself to the point where God said, "You are a foolish man." We'll get there a little bit later. If we are too focused on making money, we won't have time for family. We won't have time for God. We won't have time for telling others about God. We're just focused on me. What if these words were told about me? "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" It's a terrible thing to be said. And by the grace of God, we pray that it would not be said about one of us. Who are we working for? So we see a lesson from the woodpecker that we do need to work to provide for ourselves. But when you have worked and deposited your paycheck, then what? This is when you find out whether you are of the world or whether you are not of the world. Can you fly away? Can you see God's greater purpose for your life? Are you stuck in the decayed wood and the stuff of this world? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Are you serving others? Are you making a difference for God each day? You're still stuck back there in the rotten wood. Your treasures decay and get stolen. I had to think about when Jesus said that laying up treasures where they do not get stolen. And stolen has more than just people taking away that which I own. We can actually steal from ourselves, I believe. I don't know if any of you have, I'm sure all of you have had this experience, where you put your heart into something, at the end of it, you're like, "This is all empty. There's no fulfillment in it." Especially if you have not named the name of Christ. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. We can steal from ourselves if we haven't surrendered to our Lord. I want you to turn in your songs of life and praise to number 153. We need to stop wasting our lives. We need to give it all to God. What if you get to the end of your life and realize you invested your life in worthless things? Your family no longer has time for you because you never had time for them. God doesn't have time for you because you didn't have time for him. You find yourself in a miserable, lonely existence, wishing so bad you had invested into things which have so much more value. And I was pondering this thought, my mind went to this song, "Wasted Years." Austin, would you want to blow the pitch for us?
Ooh, tell me so, have you wandered along on life's pathway? Search for the great kind meaning, or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish, as you walk on in darkness and fears. Turn around, God is calling you from a life of wasted years.
Sing verse 3.
Don't you know Jesus died for all sinners? He loves you and your guilt. He gladly bears. Come to him, your sin confessing. You can go on with a life of wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you. Turn around.
The message of the song is powerful. God is calling us from a life of wasted years. Songwriter says, "Don't you know Jesus died for all sinners? He loves you, and your guilt he gladly bears." If we get stuck in the decayed matter of this world, and we cannot fly away and see the bigger picture, we are going to live a life of wasted years. God forbid. Take you to the third lesson on the pileated woodpecker, and that is that they have a distinct call and knock. And I did want to play a recording to you because it is a very interesting call, and I'll do that here for you. This is their call. If any of you heard that, you recognize it. Some of you may have heard it but did not even see it, did not know what you were listening to. But the first place we lived after we were married was back in the woods, and we had a suet cake bird feeder on the front deck. And we had a pair of these around that lived there in the area, and we actually had one come in and sit right on the deck railing right there in the front of our house, and it was a special treat. And now again, we live close enough to the woods to be able to enjoy them. They have a number of calls, but that is the one that I'm most familiar with. But they also have another call, and I want you to listen to this one. That is a mating call. And I had to think about Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus is calling us. He's knocking. He's trying to get our attention. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," Jesus Christ has a distinctive voice. We know that. "If you hear his voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." If Jesus knocks at your heart's door, please, please let him in. Like I said, Jesus does have a distinct voice. But if you did not know what his voice was, you would not recognize it. Therefore, we need to study his word. He told us what he has to say. We know his voice. We can read it right here in his word. We need to study it, memorize it. We need to study his word there so that we are not confused by the copycats and the deceivers. Let's listen to the distinct call and knock of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another lesson that we can learn from the pileated woodpecker is that they mate for life. And we already covered this pretty well, I believe, last Sunday in the sermon on divorce and remarriage. But it is very interesting to me to watch the two that live in our area there. If you see one fly into the woods, you're probably going to see the other one, because they stick together. It's an incredible part of nature around us, and it's a credible example of the way that God designed us to be if we have chosen marriage. I find it also very interesting that the world esteems two penguins in a zoo who are male and show affection for each other and try to incubate a stone, and they give them a fertile egg, and they raise the egg and raise a chick. They hatch the egg and raise a chick. And the world says, "Look at this." You know that what they're trying to say is that the gay lifestyle is natural. But then they don't stop and think about the 99.99999% of the birds who aren't like that. We know it's not natural. Why doesn't the world esteem the 90% of the birds who mate for life? Why don't we understand what is natural? We don't take our guidance from animals. We don't take our guidance from the creature. We take our guidance from the Creator. We all know that. We don't worship the creature more than the Creator. However, it is neat to see the dedication that these birds have for each other. Only if one dies does the other one find another mate. But the dedication is not only for each other. And this takes us to the fifth lesson that we have that we can take from pileated woodpeckers. And that is, they work hard to provide for their young. I have a picture of a nest. They drew a nest out. And what I found it very interesting in my study that the male woodpecker starts hammering out the nest cavity, and he does most of the work. We see here the male taking the lead in their relationship. But the female also comes along, she helps, especially as the nest nears completion. That's a beautiful picture of God's order of headship in our homes. The husband takes the lead, and the wife helps him as they work together to provide for their young. Nest preparation takes about 3 to 6 weeks. I wonder what other bird takes 3 to 6 weeks to build a nest for their young. The dedication to me is amazing, what they go through to prepare a place for their babies. How many of you have hammered away at the workload and wonder where the headache came from? They are very simple birds. There's no house decorations, only some wood shavings at the bottom. Wonder where they came from. But another thing I found very interesting, this takes us to our sixth lesson that we take from pileated woodpeckers, is that they rarely reuse their nests. The holes left behind provide crucial nesting for other birds, such as the wood duck, the eastern bluebird, the eastern screech owl, as well as bats and raccoons and other mammals. And I had to think they not only provide for themselves when they're young, but they also provide for others. The holes that they leave behind in the trees are a crucial part of what happens in the woods, as other creatures are able to use what they leave behind. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. The thief is out there looking for what he can get for himself, what he can take from others and get for himself. Very self-serving. The giver is looking for how he can labor, how he can work hard so that he can have something to give to others. I talked about the goals of the Christian being so different from the world, and this is definitely one of them. We need to learn the lesson that we leave things behind for others. We think of the Old Testament example where they're harvesting their crop, their wheat, whatever it is, and they were told to leave behind some kernels for the widows and the fatherless. And you think of a farmer, especially nowadays, when they get a combine, they're looking at the efficiency of the combine. They don't want grain going out the back end of that combine. They don't want it wasted. They want as many bushels to the acre as they can possibly get. And yet what Jesus taught them back in the Old Testament was so counterproductive. He said, you purposely waste so that others can come and gather. It was a picture of how others were able to have the self-esteem of also providing for themselves, and yet it was through the fact that others were willing to allow them something that they could use to provide for themselves. We know the story of Ruth, how she did exactly that. Mark 10:46, Jesus was teaching servant leadership to his disciples, and he made this statement, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." If Jesus himself, the master example, spent his whole life living and serving others, living for and serving others, ministering to others, why should we not as well? Why should we not follow this example? Let's make sure that we're not only providing for ourselves, but also for others around us. The seventh lesson I have from pileated woodpeckers is that they have a strong beak which they use in self-defense. They use it as a weapon. Sometimes danger does show up at the door. Sometimes they face martens, weasels, snakes, and even squirrels. But God gave these birds a powerful bill to protect themselves and their young. And I ask you this morning, what is our weapon that we are given to use? Somebody help me out.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. What is the Word of God called?
Double-edged sword.
The two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor that we are given. And the sword of God is the weapon that we use. I found it so interesting in Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. If you think about where a word comes from, it comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And so does the sword that we use today. Let's be sure we know how to use our sword. We study it, we memorize it, and we practice, practice, practice. A pileated woodpecker who never used his beak in daily life would be very ill-equipped if he had to use his beak as a weapon. If we are not in the Word in our daily lives, not only taking in the Word, but also using the Word, we're going to be very ill-equipped if we face the attacks of the evil one. In conclusion, we worship the Creator, not the created. But I hope that you can take some lessons from this woodpecker home with you. I'll just run back over them real quickly. Embrace the wonderful way that God has made you. You are wonderfully made. Make sure you are in the wood, but not of the wood. Make sure you are not trapped by the decaying things of this world. Listen for the knock and the distinct call of Jesus Christ. If you do choose to get married, make sure you stay married till death do you part. Work hard to provide for your children, but also work hard so you can provide for others, you can give to others. And make sure you know how to use your sword. Let's come to the Lord in a kneeling prayer.